Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged and excited that you have joined us in the Extra Hour. I do want to say this morning that if you are struggling, if you feel in your heart that your prayers are going up and hitting like a ceiling over your head, imagine if you were throwing something up and you wanted to throw it in the air, but you were in the house. And so when you threw it, if you have a house with 8-foot ceilings or 10-foot ceilings or 6-foot ceilings, you know, it's going to stop when it hits the ceiling. It's like a ceiling over your prayers. And if you feel that it's you, I want to tell you something, that God knows your thoughts and needs and prayers before you even pray them. Mm-hmm. Though to you it feels like they're hitting brass ceilings, though it feels to you that, you know, they're not going anywhere, before they even left your mouth, God knew what you had need of. And no, this is just a time of you trusting and having faith in God, and know that you're just going to, you know, he loves you. He's got a plan for your life. And that this is when faith kicks in. You know, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. You know, John Bevere talks about in his book, The Fear of the Lord, he says, you know, there's people that trust God as long as the provision's there. But as soon as the provision runs out, they stop trusting him. Was that really trust in God or trust in provision?
That's right.
And so everybody's going to be tested. You know, you're going to go through the time of testing. It's called the testing of your faith, which is more precious than gold, that Peter said. And so, you know, rejoice in those times of testing. You know what? Despite this water being bitter, and I know that I'm going to be drinking milk from and honey from these wonderful lands, I know I can get through these bitter circumstances.
Right.
And just hold on, because in the end, it's just you and God, you know, and that's what you present to him. He says, your testing of your faith is more precious than gold. This is the only thing that you'll have to offer Jesus when we get to heaven is what made it through the fire of testing. I mean, you know, people, the big gospel that's being preached right now that we talk about quite often in America is, you know, you can make it through the fire. But you know what? Your faith can make it through the fire. You can do something for God.
Right.
You know, you can believe God. You can begin to name things. You can begin to have a vision to see God's kingdom here in the hearts of men and to see people one to the Lord. It's more than just you. It's about all.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Not collective salvation, though, Lord. But it's about everybody. God loves even the ones that are held captive right now by some twisted doctrines of false prophets and may seem the enemy of you or of the church. Realize that, you know, if you look at history, if you pause long enough just to read and to look, it's always happened. But Saul was against the church. He was going to kill the church. He was going not to, he was not going to the local stadium. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to the local mega building. He wasn't going to the local shopping center front building. And he wasn't going to the hotel renting room church building. And he wasn't going to the, he wasn't going to the funeral home renting room building. And he wasn't going to the coffee shop, or he was going to houses.
All right.
He was going house to house, and he was dragging the church out of the houses to be able to kill them and persecute them and imprison them. And Stephen was one of them, remember?
Right.
And he went up there, he says, listen, you know, he was talking to the local religious Pharisee and said, you know, hey, I decided I want to do some more of these Christians in. <You know? laughs> 'Cause they're not righteous like us, and they're, you know, yada yada. Right. And so in the context of that, the local leaders of that day that were blind and didn't know what they were doing. Jesus said, it's like the blind leading the blind. Mm-hmm. Do what they say, but don't do what they do.
Right.
And so speaking of that, remind me of the here. I got one more part of that. God gave me. But so he gets a letter. Somebody wrote a letter. They wrote a letter. He said, Here is you, authority, Saul. I want you to take this letter to and go to Damascus, and I want you to do what's on your heart to be able to imprison and persecute. And you just stop. You just stop.
Mm-hmm.
Go stop God. You know, what a job, right? What a
good
job.
Luck with that one.
But Saul, you know, Saul's a, you know, okay, I've been doing it already, you know. Right. I mean, he was the Pharisee of the Pharisees, man. Right. I mean, if anybody had any dues, even he considered dung after mm-hmm. a while, it was Saul, right? Mm-hmm. But on his road, on his, he was riding his, I'll go NIV, he was riding his donkey. He was riding his donkey, his mule.
Right.
And a mule for this culture is not a four-wheeler that you take out and play in the field. Or you see Duck Dynasty right around. More on Duck Dynasty later.
Yes.
And so that he was on his mule, and he was riding a mule. Today it might be a Cadillac or something, or Lincoln or Corvette.
Right.
But he was in his vehicle, and his intentions were, he had a letter in his hand, he wanted to kill the church mm-hmm. in the name of God. He right. wanted to go, and he wanted to hurt believers. He wanted to imprison them. He wanted to stone them.
Right.
I mean, you know, being killed is one thing, but being stoned, man, that's like, oh my God.
I can't imagine.
And you know, for the people in the 60s and 70s, I'm talking about rocks.
Yeah.
Being stoned. And so in the context of that, God's watching every bit of this, every single bit of this. And what he did, listen to this, you got to hear this. He was riding his high horse or low donkey, and he was going to the local houses where the church was at. He's going to drag him out and have him stoned or whatever. And God just says, you know, I had it with this.
Mm-hmm.
I just had it with this. This is because he's been doing it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he just had it with it.
Right.
And he was just it. You notice that he didn't have it with the one who wrote the letter. He had it with the one that thought it was his duty to do in the church. You know what I'm
right.
saying? Only because he was
right.
Yeah. Right to us. And so he's going, and Jesus just says, well, let me just turn my flashlight on. I mean, Jesus shows up, man. You know, he just shows up, bam, and the light is so bright. It was so blinding that Saul fell off of his donkey, his mule. He hits the ground. I mean, it's so hot. It dries his skin so much that his eyes seal shut. I mean, literally, it just seals shut. He just goes blind.
Mm-hmm.
It's got like scales over his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like being in Arizona with no moisturizer. They say it's dry heat. Well, I'm from Florida. We have wet heat.
Yeah, right.
You got some of that saline stuff. Anyway, so and so here he is. This is God showing up. And then he says this. And this is very important for all of us to understand that we're to love the church, which the church is not buildings. I don't care if it's in a house, coffee shop, or a mega or stadium. I mean, it's people. It's people. And he said, Saul. This is God. Saul, Saul, he says, why are you persecuting me? Why are you kicking against the goads?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And early on, you know, in Acts, he writes, he says, listen, if this is not God, it's going to die out. But if it is God, you're going to find yourself fighting against God. Mm-hmm. And it proved true with Saul. Saul found himself fighting against God, and he didn't understand this God that he thought he was serving. He was actually killing.
Because
mm-hmm. he said, whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do it to me. But think about this, that he was killing, stoning, and imprisoning Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
You know?
That's wild.
Yes, you know, God's going, why are you doing this to me? And of course, somebody who's held captive would go, Jesus, you know, you and me are tight. We right. have a private prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just taking these others out for you. Because they might take my kingdom.
Right.
And of course, boom, you know, he shows up, and all of a sudden he's blinded, and God, you know, he encountered Jesus. Jesus is encountering him. He says, listen, knock it off.
Mm-hmm.
Quit messing with my people. Quit messing with me. Why are you persecuting me?
Right.
Think about it. Why are you persecuting me? This is why we talk good about the church. This is why we love the church, not the buildings. We got to break that mindset. I know we're beginning this conversation. We got to really do a lot of work on it because people are defending their organizations. They're defending, you know, their, you know, men's religions and philosophies and traditions, and yes, you know, they're wearing big pendants that says, you know, I love my church. And it's like, no, it's actually Jesus's church, and it's not the building or the organization, even though it may be a pretty one. I'm not saying it's not a good building. I'm saying it's not the church. and we understand this. Why we talk, we got to be careful how we treat each other, because, you know, that'll restrain you when you understand to do anything to that believer, you know, wrongly, is to do it against Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Somebody says, well, why don't you say something back? You can't say something back because it's Jesus. You know, God will deal with that. Mm-hmm. God will, believe me, ask Saul, right?
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, on the major dirt highway to Damascus, you know, Jesus shows up and tells him, listen, you've been doing this to me. Mm-hmm. And then he says, let me show you some things you must suffer.
Right.
You know, go to street, you know, and he stayed there. And it was really interesting, too, that, you know, he changed his name from Saul to Paul. This is Paul. He ended up writing half of the New Testament almost. And so understand this, and this is what I was talking about, that though you may have a naysayer today, though you may have somebody biting at your heels, and you may have lost people because of this person, understand in a moment, not in a twinkling of an eye, but in a sealing of their eyes with a bright light. Mm-hmm. They can change in a moment.
Right.
I mean, God is in control. I mean, when you're reading Genesis chapter 1, you know, I mean, it was just water. Mm-hmm. And then God's Spirit hovers over it, and then he begins to speak, and then he looks at the ground, and he says he made trees grow.
You know? Right.
Listen, he can take that man or that woman to their knees at a heartbeat. He could turn every saloon, every brothel into a place where church gathers in a second, you know, like Tozer says, you know. But the whole thing is, it's not about him forcing us. It's about us being willing. This is our faith, being willing to follow him. So don't worry about it. Sometimes, you know, it is that agitant. It's that thing, you know. God will often use, you know, things out of control to bring his people in control. And somebody says, well, when is that going to stop? And it's like, when you get to the place I told you to be, right?
Right.
And so I want to encourage you that if he could stop Saul, who stoned Stephen, who was looking at the face of God, he's looking at God. Mm. Understand, Stephen is looking at the face of God, and Saul sits there with Stephen's clothes at his feet as he orchestrated the stoning of a Christian, of his stoning of Jesus, right?
Right.
Because he says, whatever you do, you're going to do this against me. So he actually stoned Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Stephen, what a man, right?
Yeah.
He's just looking with a smile on his face and preaching the gospel.
I know.
You know, we're calling an attorney. Hey, they're going to stone me. They're going to stone me. No. And he saw the face of God, and he just kind of glowed with the glory of God, and that he understood what we need to understand, that this life is but a moment. It is but a twinkling of an eye. It's a vapor, James says, and that it's between you and God, and you don't want to mess up. Because there's agitants. Because, you know, you think about a dishwasher, or not a dishwasher, but a washing machine. You know how clothes get clean?
Mm-hmm.
Through agitation.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
That I hear. I remember.
Yeah, right. Somebody told you once.
Yeah, right. Somebody told me once. And they put the clothes in the top, I guess, or the
side.
Yeah,
there's a hole on the top.
Yeah, or things.
At least the older ones, anyway. What I got.
And you throw them in there, and they're dirty, mm-hmm. right? And then you put in the truth. No, you put in the washer, laundry soap.
Detergent.
Right? Detergent, right? Right. And this is what Malachi chapter 3 says. Mm-hmm. He says to wash with detergent, laundry detergent.
Oh, wow.
Not laundry, but detergent.
Yep.
And to clean and to purify. And so then it's still just soap, dirt, and clothes, right? It's still dirty.
Right.
Even though you're near the truth, it hasn't done anything for you yet, right?
Right.
And then all of a sudden now you pour water in there. Mm-hmm. The washing of the water of the word, right?
That's right.
And then it begins to kind of mix a little bit because it's got water, but it's not, the truth's not going to really get in you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to get into you until you got some agitation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Right.
Because all of a sudden you might have a whoosh whoosh or a slush slush or a pound pound, but what's happening is it's pounding those clothes. Years ago, they pound them with rocks on the river. Now you just, you know, thank God for washing machines, but it's actually agitating the clothes. Agitating the dirt and agitating the cleaning soap, the laundry soap. And through that agitation, with the proper laundry soap. And with us, he calls it the washing of the word to sanctify us in John chapter 17 by the washing of the word. And Malachi chapter 3 talks about with soap, you know, that you're not clean, you need to be clean. And so understand there's adjutants that will begin to cause God's truth to move in our life in a way that only agitation could cause that to happen. And the next thing you know, through the spin cycle, your head's spinning around, you'll come out like, you're walking around squeaking, clean, right? Squeaky clean. And
if you're really dirty, you throw in some bleach.
Oh, wow, yeah. Do they? Anyway, so the
I saw it once.
You did throw it once, yeah. And so understanding that, it's like, wow. So then I need to thank God in all circumstances, in all situations, for this is God's will for me. Nothing snuck by, right?
Right.
Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks and with every not for it, but in when you're being agitated, still thank God, because this is God's will for you. We'll be right back.
I want to encourage you today, if you're looking for a fellowship of believers, if you're looking to be a part of the church where the church is family, I want to encourage you to go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. It's a network of abiding churches that hear God's voice and live amongst each other as family. This is the church's greatest hour, and God may be calling you to be a part. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Check it out. It could be for you.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN Torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God and we share it. But on the VFN Torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go. Moment of wisdom with you today from Proverbs 12:11. He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Everyone wow. who works, you know, I think about Pat, Steve, I think about, you know, oftentimes I think sometimes we can be guilty or sometimes people can get confused with thinking that because they have a job that they're actually working.
Yeah.
Job and working are not the same thing.
Nope.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, think about it. It's real common for someone to say, I'm going to work today, instead of how was your job? Mm-hmm. Or you know, it's commonly stated, I'm going to work.
Right.
We intermingle those two words. Mm-hmm. But there really is a big difference in having a job and doing work. We're talking about the moment of wisdom today, that he who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasy lacks judgment.
Right.
And when you think about work, this is the definition of work. You know, in view of what we just finished talking about, George Washington and the real work, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Right.
Pretty serious. But we're talking about work. It's the exertion or effort to produce or accomplish something. I like that. It's the exertion or effort to produce or accomplish something. Mm-hmm. You know, you can spend a lot of time at a job, but it doesn't mean you're producing anything.
Right.
You know, you could be spinning your wheels. That's you could right. be, you know, just taking up time, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes that's a trap, and we shared about it in My Life, His Glory. It's a trap that sometimes believers or just people in general fall into, where maybe your job has lost its you know, excitement for you, and, mm-hmm. and now you're just going to your job and as a place, you know, to put in 8 hours, as a place to just survive, as a place that you know that if you're there 8 hours, if you make it till you know, 8 hours, that 5 o'clock, you know, quitting time, that you're going to get paid for that day.
Right.
You know, I've always liked working, you know, and I've worked for a pay for performance contract or in sales or something like that, where you work at the end of the day and you know, you may work. Mm-hmm. But unless you're successful, unless you have done your job well, right. will determine whether you're going to be compensated mm-hmm. or not. Right. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And so you have no choice. You can't fluff it. You can't just, you know, kind of just, you know, mosey through. You have to make it happen, if you will. You got to go to work with an emphasis on exerting some effort, you know, with the goal of producing and accomplishing something. And why is this important? I mean, why does God even address this? Well, I mean, he wants his people to be industrious.
Right.
I mean, work is a part of life, and it's a way that we can glorify God
right.
by what
right.
we do. And think about it. He's appointed us to go and bear fruit, much fruit. Mm. That's in all areas of our life.
Right.
That our life, what we do, what we're engaged in every single day, right, is mm-hmm. is a part of producing some sort of fruit. You know, I tell my children, hey, your work, right, your job, your work today is, you know, if you're going to school, that's your school work. Mm-hmm. You got to do well in it. It's not an option, not a choice, right? You got to do well. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, this is how important, it's what the Bible says, that if a man will not work, mm-hmm. he shall not eat.
That's right.
If a man shall not work, if he will not work, not that he has, you know, if he will not, it's speaking of a desire, your will, if you will not work, not if you're not able to work. There's some people that are disabled and they're not, you know, they're not able to. Mm. But the word of God is saying, if you will not work, you have the ability and you choose not to, then you shall not eat. And there is a reward for work, and which we're talking about, you know, a nation. We're talking about individuals. There's something rewarding about working, and we want to be industrious. We want to live this part of our life where we're contributing and adding value at whatever we're doing, because it's not about putting in time. It's not about, you know, riding the clock. It's about giving God glory in everything that you do.
Right.
And God can get glory out of your work. In fact, your work is very important to God.
Right.
And so this should change your whole perspective. I mean, the reward for work is abundant food. That's the reward for work. It says, he who works his land. You could replace the word land with job. He who works his job will have abundant food.
Right.
And so, you know, many have just fallen into a trap of just putting in the hours. Mm-hmm. You know, just put in the hours. Time to make the donuts. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And Colossians 3:17 says that whatever you do, mm-hmm. whatever you do, work at it with all of, you know, with everything. Mm-hmm. Work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men.
Right.
You can give 100% to it. You know, and we're talking about being fruitful. Nothing in life is ever accomplished without work. The greatness of our country, the right. you know, what we're doing for the Lord. I mean, it just, you got to be engaged in it.
Mm-hmm. Change your perspective of things.
Absolutely. And listen to what he says here. He says, but he who chases fantasies. Hello, fantasy is imagination. You know what I'm saying? Especially, it's defined as an imagination, especially with extravagant and unrestrained. It's a mental image, especially when it's not real. Mm-hmm. Right. A fantasy. And you know, you can't let your fantasies affect your realities. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, that's a tweetable for you, okay? Don't let your fantasies affect your realities.
That's good stuff.
Because you can fantasize all you know. I had a dream one day. I had a fantasy, okay, of being the right fielder for the New York Mets. That was a fantasy. It was an imagination.
Yes, that was a fantasy.
I thought about it. I saw myself catching the ball. I mean, I was wearing the uniform. I was there in the stadium, okay?
Right.
It was real. Mm-hmm. But there comes a point where I had to realize that fantasy, if I don't start getting studying and doing my books and mm-hmm. doing what my parents told me to do when I was younger, that was going to affect the reality,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying,
of
whether I was going to do something with my life.
It's amazing because that's pretty much, that's where the majority of we are in America right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
exactly.
we're neglecting our realities because we're so consumed in our fantasies. So because of that, we're losing our reality.
Hello. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
look at the amount of young people that, you know, this is the dilemma that hits the person that is chasing a fantasy and they're continually going back to school, getting degree upon degree mm-hmm. upon degree, because the idea of a good job one day is better than the reality of working any job for the
mm-hmm.
day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
One day I'm going to be something important one day, you know, and they'll talk about it and it's okay for that talk. When you're in college and you're training and you're learning and you're being studious and you're in an apprenticeship, mm-hmm. it's okay to dream. It's because you're working towards that dream. You know, mm-hmm. you're applying work, you're applying effort, you're accomplishing your grades. But it's another thing when you're still dreaming and you still got no jobby. You know, so you still ain't working.
Ain't got no job.
Yeah, I got no job. And now your fantasy is affecting your reality that the power bill's not gonna get paid. That it's affecting the reality that people are not going to eat.
That
it's affecting the reality that your mortgage is not going to be paid, you know? Mm-hmm. And the idea is that we need not be ones that chase fantasies, but we need to be one that has a vision for the realities and have a purpose and a vision for our life. It says that he who chases fantasies, the word of God, Proverbs 12:11, he who works his land will have abundant food mm-hmm. and food provision, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. And judgment is the ability to judge and make decisions. You know, you need wisdom. You know, I often say this, that the word of God says it, when you thought like a child, you reasoned like a child, mm-hmm. but when you became a man, you pulled away, you know, pulled off childish ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time that we walk in the realities of God. And I want to encourage you, you know, if you're working right now and you're not just at a job, but you're being industrious, you're producing, you're giving effort to have an accomplished goal, then you're doing good. I want to encourage you to do your work unto the Lord, and you'll see the blessings and the reward of work. And if you're one that struggled with fantasies and you know, you have these goals, let me tell you, it's okay. It's okay. I was just speaking to someone the other day. It's okay to work a present reality that's not as awesome as your fantasy. Because what's real awesome is that you are productive in life, that you're adding value, that you are taking care of your responsibilities as the Lord would want you to take care of your responsibilities. Right. So the wisdom moment, the moment of wisdom for today is found in Proverbs 12:11. He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lack judgment.
Next on VFN Radio. You know, the big thing is that I think about the book by Dr. Cloud, Henry Cloud. He wrote, he surveyed like for 20 years all these different chief executive officers. He's a Christian, but he surveyed them and learned things from them. And it's called Integrity. But it's called Integrity, the courage to face the demands of reality. And he talks about that this one CEO had the sales force. And in the sales force, they had this one particular man who could sell, you know, sand to the ocean. You know what I'm saying? He could just sell anything. You know, he just could sell anything, which means he increased the bottom line of the business.
Right.
But yet he was horrific when it came to dealing with the people that was the other employees and the ones that supported him, because nobody can, in a business, it takes all the parts to be able to function. And they were constantly being hurt by this person.
Right.
And, but yet the CEO needed to have, the whole thing's about integrity. Did he have the courage to face the demands of reality? Was he willing to change his bottom line of his business to a lower number to be able to satisfy the reality of what this guy? Because sometimes you can be good at a task, and sometimes you can be good at relationships. But with God, you got to be good at both. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to love people on the way to where you're going and what you're doing. Both of those things. It's called a wake. We need to talk about that in the future. But and the wake doesn't lie. It doesn't lie. And so you can look. You can look at somebody. You think about, let's just state this for a moment, because we're talking about a mocker. This is a wake. When you're sitting on a boat, and the boat is going through the water, and you're sitting on the back of the boat, which I think is called the fantail, or the aft of a boat, and you're looking where the shape of the water when you're pulling away. You're going through the water, so you're leaving a mark in the water, if you have a temporary little mark or shape. And it actually is identical. It's identical to the shape of the boat. So if it's a big boat, it's the shape of the boat. Mm-hmm. And they call it the wake. It's making a wake. Mm-hmm. And so, and the wakes don't lie. Mm-hmm. They just don't lie. And you look at the wake and you know the shape of the boat.
Right.
And so with that, one, think about it, there's two sides to a wake, right? You got one side and the other side. Mm-hmm. One side is relationships and one side is task. And if somebody's good with relationships, but they're not good with tasks, that is so, you know, they're like, I really like them, but nothing's getting done.
Right.
Right.
You know, I like them, but we're starving and nobody's working, you know, mm-hmm. I like them, you know, but then you have the others that are good just at task, but then I get a relationship. I mean, you cringe in their presence, but you know they're going to do the job. Mm-hmm. And they pride themselves. Look at my numbers. You know, I'm doing, look at the bottom line of the company.
Right.
And they say, I don't need to get along with so-and-so. Look, did you see this? I just made a big sell.
That's right.
Right. And but the wake has two sides. Everybody has a wake. And this is what Dr. Henry Cloud says. You know, that the wake doesn't lie. That one side of the wake is relationship and one side is task. Mm. You know, and you can say what you want to, but everybody knows your wake. Mm. And when you go through the waters of life and you look behind you, and if one side of the paradigm, the relationship side, you have all these offended people, all these hurt people, you know, you cannot point at the other side of the task and say everything's okay.
Right.
Because that CEO had to come to the office and he had to decide, am I just going to go in for the bottom line here? Because his staff, his employees came to him and said, if you don't get rid of this person, we're leaving you. And he was trying to study in this book, why do businesses end up the way they do? Why have we made so many mistakes and we made a ton of them? And it happens even in the church, even in the father's business, in the church, where the church says if somebody's good at tasks, but they're not good at relationship. That is a big warning sign that you need to set that person down, because task means nothing if there's no no relationship. Because you know the Word of God says if you don't love your brother, you don't love God. You know, right. It just boils down to it.
See, doing something for God that you're messing up the relationship with God, the person right. You're supposed to be ministering to.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I like what Cloud says in that book as well. So that are they enjoying your wake and skiing and having fun on the back of it? Or is your wake so choppy that they become shark bait because they're bouncing all over?
Yeah. Right. And you'll find out, you know, where and it's tension between the two.
Right.
Because to be able to have good relationships, sometimes you have to make less money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just throw people on the fire of your success. And it happens all the time, you know. And you can't just throw tasks on the relationship. So you got to take care of the mundane things. You got to balance that. And it causes a person to cry out to God. It causes a person to say, I have to provide for my family. You know, but I cannot just forego a relationship with my family while I'm providing for them.
Right.
And so, you know, understanding this, that, you know, the wake does not lie. I mean, if you have not read, I think the church needs to read Dr. Henry Cloud's book. Make sure we put that up on the VFN TV blog. But you got to read this book, because it's a study of the actual happenings of CEOs in our country. And the title of the book is Integrity, the Courage to Meet the Demands of Reality. And this is the question for us today, you know, is as we're coming to an end of the wisdom moment here, is do we have the integrity to do what reality demands from us right now?
Mm.
Because America is facing a time right now where the church is going to have to repent. We're going to have to, even though we look like contradictions in the beginning when we start doing what's right, because we were just doing what was wrong,
right.
We have to let them know the only one is good is God anyway. Jesus said, who are you calling good? And we're preaching our gospel. It's his gospel. And our only hope is God. And so we begin to say, I'm going to work on my relationships. I'm going to work on my task. And I'm going to repent for being a mocker. And I want to be a wise person. And I want to receive a multitude of counsel in this. And I mean, it's just hard to honor a fool, you know, and understand that we need to be able to humble ourselves, and we got to be able to know that if we are a parent, if we are a leader in an industry, if we are a governmental leader, for example, God has allowed that, and God will honor that, you know, if we humble ourselves and we just say, you know, God, I want to do it your way. I don't want to be a mocker. I don't want to be insulting people. I don't want to be, you know, all those things that come with being a mocker. I don't want to, you know, abuse people or abuse my power as a parent, as a business owner, as a governmental leader. I just want to be wise. I want to learn, you know, mm-hmm. I want to grow. And just like God, you know, when I ask for forgiveness, God forgives me, you know, God will forgive you. And he'll surprise you. You know, mm-hmm. He's very good. He's very merciful. And he's very loving. Totally 100%. We'll be right back after this break. Vine Fellowship Network University. It is amazing. When you live and breathe and be educated in the things of God through a rhema word, what God is saying now to his people, what we need to know now and do in this generation. Listen, it's so encouraging. It's amazing. And it's so enlightening. And it's not as hard as religion's made it out to be. And it's not frivolous like the rebellious has made it out to be. But it is important. It's learning the things of God and a quick learning path, depending on your time and also moving at the pace that you need to move it. Listen, you got to check it out. You've got to check. It's time to say, you know what? I want to go deeper in God maybe. Or you can say, not only do I want to go deeper, but I believe that there is a church plant inside of me. I want to start in my city, in my state, in my country, a church. I want to plant a church. I want the vine to begin to grow in my own city, but I need to know. I need to be rightly related. I need to know what I need to do. Well, Vine Fellowship Network University is for you. Check it out, vfnu.org, vfnu.org.
You know, what's so amazing about abiding is not that you're just able to hear the voice of the Lord for yourself, but that you're also able to help others hear God's voice. You know, Jesus said that we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And it just reminds me of, you know, Maria. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my
she
goodness.
Hears from God. You know, she learns to abide, and she hears his voice. And guess what? She follows what God says. And it's just it's so amazing to see that not just for yourself, that how you can hear God's voice, but how you can begin to teach others to hear the voice of the Lord, and how they can spend time with God, and how they can abide, and how they can journal down exactly what God is saying to them, about them, and for them.
And she's so beautiful. You know, you can just see her transformation prior to hearing God's voice, you know, years ago, and as she began to hear the Lord's voice, and now it's openly today.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Patterson in New Jersey is being blessed. The Bronx, you know, in New York's being blessed. And so many people are being blessed because she hears God's voice.
That's right. Let me tell you, if you're looking for a simple plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's free. Just go to iabide.org. Request your simple plan today at iabide.org.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved, that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Mm. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know, they got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father threw himself to you when you got saved. Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
The Muslim Brotherhood, we're talking about the caliphate, we're talking about Sharia.
Yeah.
We're talking about how over 100 mosques were surveyed and how 81% of those mosques were distributing violent texts, you know, violent readings, booklets, information to their congregants.
Wow.
And we don't want Sharia.
Mm-mm.
You know, but the church has to repent. I mean, we have
right.
choice. I guess,
you know,
there's a choice is available.
That's right.
But we got to turn back to God. You know, we have to honor the Lord. We got to honor the Lord in our life every day, in our marriages, in our family, in our personal walk. We have to get this sin out. We can't give God lip service. We got to give him our hearts.
That's right.
And so, and maybe we can hold on to this wonderful nation, this beautiful country that the Lord has given us, and we can walk this thing out together. But if you don't have the Constitution, you know, the country is a republic, and when the founding fathers wrote the Constitution, they were very aware of what a democratic government would be like. These guys weren't ignorant.
Right.
If you notice, I mean, it is the longest Constitution. It actually has only 4,400 words, Pat. 4,400 words, and it's the longest, like I said, living constitution in the world today.
Right.
And it's held our nation together. I mean, and it's just amazing.
It's powerful.
But if we don't know that, even in our pledge, you know, pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands. So you know that the word democracy is not found once in the Constitution?
Really?
It's not found even once.
Oh, wow.
And the difference is that a republic government basically upholds the it's a representative government, okay? And the representative government, it upholds the Constitution. That's what they uphold the Constitution. They their powers and what they can do. We represent. We can't go to Washington D.C. We got lives. We work. We do all this other stuff. We can't go, but we elect a representative for us. You know, we're the king. They're spending money, you know, to get to interview for the job, if you will. And we vote. We select. We hire. You know, our elected officials to go and represent us. And their powers are limited because we have a republic.
Right.
And they're limited because they're there to uphold the Constitution. They're there to, in fact, they when they take their oath, they take their oath to defend the Constitution, to uphold the Constitution.
That's right.
So it's interesting when our president goes to another country and gives a speech and says that his job is to defend negative stereotypes of Islam and Muslims around. It's like, no.
No, that's not what we hired you for.
No. It's not what we hired you for. And it's important. It's important because now you have, you have Michelle Bachmann, the congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, who, you know, was the first one to really start looking into this, that the Secretary of State, which is the third most powerful person in the Obama administration, you got the president, you got the vice president, and you have the Secretary of State.
That's right.
And she was just selected as the second most powerful woman in the world, I believe, for the second time. And her assistant, Uma Abedin, she has her father was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. Her mother was a part of the sisterhood. And all Michelle Bachmann asked, it was that, you know, how was there any clearance done for this? Was there any kind of connection? And you know, you had people and I mean, you even had some other senators and congressmen. And she wasn't alone. There were others that joined with her. She wasn't like making this lone, you know, statement on her own. There were others who joined her, but there were others that came against her. And we have to get behind our elected representatives.
They're
representing us. Is that something that maybe you would have asked the same question? But since you couldn't ask in person, she asked for you.
That's right.
What I mean? She asked for you. And you have to have a level of clearance. It's like, wait a second, what is happening? What is going on?
Right.
And so when you have a republic that wants to uphold the Constitution, that's an important thing. It's a representative government. But a democracy is different. A democratic government, it's a government that rules by the majority. Well, hello, if you're in the minority, if you're in the minority, this is not going to go well for you. And what the republic does is that it protects those who are a minority. It makes sure that their rights are not going to be infringed upon. And so when you look at it, I mean, if we had a democratic government, you could see where through migration alone, that's why the Constitution is so important. There can be a twisting if you have a whole bunch of people that want a certain thing to happen. Then with a democracy, a democratic form of government that way, then they can literally change things overnight.
Right.
And it could be a total infringement on the rights of those who are not in the majority. So it's so, you know, when you get a full perspective and a full understanding of what is happening. And I'm telling you, we cannot afford anymore to be ignorant and not know. We have to know. And it's not just about Americans or, you know, it's really all stems from the church.
That's right.
You know, as the church goes, so goes the nation and the world, really.
That's right.
And so we just have to repent and turn back to God.
Amen.
And make God the center of our lives again. We got to, you know, turn back, journey back. There's a wonderful segment on the VFN Torch called Journey Back. You got to listen to that. But it's about journeying back to the ways of God. journeying back to the ways of God. And we've heard about God's set man, and there's so much more that we're going to talk about. We'll be right back.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supply. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, there's so many people. I mean, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but he won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers. And they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God, you can go back and watch that on VFN TV maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too, mm-hmm. who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we'd want to be married at, or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, what? Where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits and these strange people show up knocking on a door they never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they've not telling you about themselves how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today. And everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ. You loved each other. You ate together. You blessed each other. You blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children, even on their journeys. And so, when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name, and it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation, mm-hmm. and they're going to relate to you. And you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go, and there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that he's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional, you know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, "What do I, this is where God's called me, so I'm here to help you out, whatever you need." And at times, yeah, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving, serving, helping him or her carry that load. And if I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back. And then you see each other through the week, and it's a 24/7 thing, but there's an epicenter moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together and just celebrate God and worship Him and learn the teachings, you know, dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And and I just want to encourage you, you know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. You know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, you know, and who that would be, and let God lead you. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.